Hello, everyone. This week on the Mind Movement Health podcast, I have the amazing guest, Dr. Lulu Shimek. Dr. Lulu is a naturopathic physician and expert in genetic health, working with patients experiencing chronic disease, including autoimmune, digestive disorders, chronic pain, depression, anxiety, and fatigue. She believes that once we dive deep down to the root of the problem of the distortion and ignite our bodies with the innate ability to heal, we will see unimaginable changes in our well-being. She's coming on the show this week to chat about stress and adrenal burnout. Now, this is a very relevant topic with everything that has been going on with the world, you know, the last probably 2 years now. People are stressed, okay? It has been a very stressful time for most people. This is a great podcast to listen into to learn about how you can look after your body, protect your body against stress and the ongoing health issues that are associated with high levels of stress. So let's listen in. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and today on the show, we have a very amazing guest, Dr. Lulu Shimek, and she's going to be chatting about stress and adrenal burnout. So welcome to the show, Dr. Lulu.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today and talk about, of course, one of my favorite subjects, adrenal burnout and stress.
Well, I think it's a really important topic and probably a topic that's probably come to light, especially a little bit more over the last couple of years with everything that's been happening with the world. You know, there's been a lot more stress around.
Just a little.
And I think a lot more. Yeah, just a little. And a lot more people are, I think, taking stock of hormonal health and looking deeper into these things. So that's why I wanted to have you on the show to share a little bit more with our listeners. So before we dive in, can you just share with everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a naturopathic physician and I live in the States in North Carolina in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I practice, my specialty is really genetics, but within that, I practice seeing different pillars, as I call them. So women's health, thyroid, adrenal, the gut, and detoxification. Those are like my four things that I like love and specialize in. And of course, stress is wrapped into all those in a big nutshell. And I also am the botanical medicine director at the Veterans Healing Farm. So within that, I teach veterans how to heal themselves with plant medicine and I teach workshops. So that's like, I have really love working with plants and helping people learn about how to use plant medicine. That's a huge part of my life and how I help people. That's kind of a little bit about me. Of course, I could go on for a really long time, but I think that's a little bit.
That's all good. But I do love that you share a lot about plant medicine because I think, again, natural alternatives are sort of coming back, you know, into fashion as they should be. So I think having all those options out there is such a great thing and sharing that with people as well. So can you just share with our listeners maybe how you got into this field and if, you know, you had your own personal health journey that sort of led you to this? Because I find, you know, most people that I speak to that are within the health field, they've had some personal experience with it themselves.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I don't have, a lot of my friends and peers have had that huge story where, like, you know, they had a major health crisis and then they kind of went into that field. I mean, I kind of have that, but in a different way because it was my own personal self journey. I was living in New York City at the time, and this was back in the early 90s. And I had moved up there to go to a natural gourmet cookery school because I love food and nutrition. So I wanted to learn more about that. This was before I became a naturopathic doctor, of course. And New York kind of burned me out and spit me out. It was a good way to describe it. Like I wasn't sleeping. I was stressed. I was doing all kinds of everything you could think of in New York. I had it in my back pocket. And so, I decided that I was I was either probably going to like jump off the nearest like Empire State Building or I needed to leave New York. So I left and I went to live at a yoga retreat center in California. And I did a work exchange program there, learning about yoga, learning about mindfulness, meditation. I worked in the kitchen, learned all about food. So the food that I'd wanted to learn about, I just went and learned about in a different way. And so that kind of like started, that was like the real stem of me, like having, that was my kind of like crisis, is I had like that more like that stress and mental health crisis. And then from there, I learned all about mindfulness and learning how to take care of myself. And so from there, I learned how to be a yoga teacher. Then I went to massage school. Then I went to herbal training and essential oil training. And then I was like, okay, well, I want to go to the next level. So then I decided to become a naturopathic doctor because I really wanted to help people in a more like rounded and holistic way, instead of just kind of like, I felt like I had all the steps and all the pieces, but they weren't all connected. And to me, that's really what naturopathic medicine does, is it creates this huge holistic picture where I can have this amazing toolbox where then I can help people really identify deep down the root causes of what's going on.
Yeah, I love that. I'm all about holistic health too. And I was a dancer, injured, couldn't be, you know, enter my dance career. So then studied, became a nutritionist, still knew that helping people with health and nutrition is great, but movement and that side of the body is key too. So I think, you know, whenever we're kind of starting to explore health, we then open up and see other avenues that are related. So I love that your journey took you through all those steps.
Yeah. I call myself definitely the Renaissance woman. I have like so many things in my back pocket. People are like, wow, you were a pastry chef, like just all these different things. Cause I'm the type of person that I kind of get a little bored and, you know, and I want to learn something new. And so I think that's one of the reasons that drove me into medicine, is because I'm always learning something new. Like there's always something, you have a patient who needs me to dive deeper, or I can, you know, find out something new that's on the market, or I can find out about a new plant. You know, there's so many different ways. So for me, it's like this great combination where I don't get bored.
Yeah, there's always something new to learn. Now, totally. We're chatting about stress and adrenals today. Can you just explain to our listeners, you know, what the adrenals are and what their functions are? Because, you know, it's one of those things a lot of people might not be familiar with.
Right. I know. It's kind of like this term, like, you know, adrenal burnout or stress. We're like, well, where does it come from? So our adrenal glands they're these little tiny, like little caps that sit on top of the kidneys in the back of the body, kind of like underneath the rib cage, the very lower area. And so they're protected. And I think that's kind of like how I like to think of them too, is because that protection is part of our energy. It protects, like the adrenal glands have lots of different aspects that they work with. Their main thing to like kind of make them easy is to remember salt, sugar, and sex. So one is they control aldosterone. They control our blood pressure and how that system is connected to the kidney. So that's kind of like number one. Number two is the sugar. So that's our glucocorticoids. So that's everything that has to do with cortisol and stress and how we manage stress. So that's like, I think that's the main thing that people think about with the adrenal system, but it's a lot more. And then sex is our sex hormones. So it's not just the estrogen and testosterone, progesterone, but also the epinephrine. And so we have a lot of different hormones that for this little tiny gland that they're controlling in the body. And so that's kind of like the basics of their underground system. But then when we think about what they're doing in relationship to the rest of our body, is that they're sending messages. You know, it's a message system, the hormonal system. They're sending this message all the time about what we need in response to our environment. I think that's the easiest way to think about it, whether that's like, okay, I need more sleep, or okay, I'm stressed out. They send the response out to the rest of our system to send then what we need, whether that's, okay, I need more salt. I need to increase my salt intake. I need to balance my water intake. I need to have more, balance my blood sugar. They work with blood sugar balance. So I need to make sure that I'm eating enough protein. I mean, there's so many different aspects of the adrenals. They work with the entire body.
So I think the best question to segue next to that is, what happens if we ignore these signals?
Right. I know. Yes. Which I think is really easy to do because we're made as humans to just function, right? And especially in times of stress, to like buck up and like, you know, to like push through it, because as we were trained and as cave people, right? Like, you know, the stress would stop. Like, okay, we're going to go out. There's going to be a big, huge animal we're going to have to fight. And then we're like, okay, well, that's over. We can now go back to our cave and have a fire and relax. But so we have that DNA within us. But then what happens is now that chronic stress doesn't stop and we don't acknowledge that stopping point. So we push ourselves to the brink of, like you said, the end of time. Like, you know, there's not a stopping point because we've been trained to push ourselves, especially I think as women, we have, you know, we've come through this age of empowerment, right? And the revolution of us as a species, but within that came a lot of responsibility, being able to do everything, have the kids, take care of the house, have the job, you know? And so that's that part of that, like pushing. And I think now that feminine nature is really coming into play and saying like, okay, we don't really, that's not good for us as women to be that way. We're like nurturing. We need to have that balance of when to stop, when to slow down the volume, when to relax. So I think it's about recreating that new place of realizing when we're in stress and be like, oh yeah, okay, so this is my pattern. This is what I do when I'm chronically stressed, where like an example could be, I don't know, maybe you switch to eating poorly. It's really common, right? Like you like have a comfort food. Maybe that's chocolate chip cookies. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to eat like a bazillion chocolate chip cookies today because I'm stressed out, you know, because it's like you have this pattern. So I think if we can recognize when we're moving into a pattern of dealing with chronic stress, it helps us to be able to kind of like pull back the reins a little bit.
Yeah. And when we are talking about stress, can all those little tiny things of stress, like running late for appointments, having a fight with your kids, can they all build up? Or are we looking at bigger, you know, issues like, you know, losing a loved one or, you know, having big financial stress issues? So, mm-hmm. you know, is it the little things that build up or are we just really focusing on those big ones?
I think it's both. So we're talking about like the like genetics. We can talk about the genetic aspect. So, you know, we're each made up as individuals to manage stress and handle stress in specific ways. And there's actually genes that can show how we handle stress. And so let's take those two people. Let's just say that's like, I don't know, John and Jane to make it easy. So let's say Jane has, you know, lots of little things in her life that have stress. But in her genetic makeup or the way that she's been trained and grow, you know, as a child and has managed with her family to handle stress, to her, that could be very, like all those little tiny things could add up to one big volcano of stress, right? And so because of that, manage it. But the other part, maybe let's say John, is able to manage stress really well. He's like, okay, I have these little things. It's no big deal. I have the mindfulness techniques, or I know how to eat well, etc. And then when he has a big stressor, then that's when everything kind of falls out the window. Like COVID is a great example. A lot of us were managing their stress kind of well, not everybody, but a lot of us. But then as it culminated, right, then it's just too much. Like the body doesn't know how to actually take all those huge stressors and manage it, especially if you already had those poor stress management techniques in your pocket. You know, it's like, okay, I'm slowly sneaking along through the pathway of stress and able to identify like, okay, that's okay. I was late to work and I didn't make dinner, but it's okay. I'll do it tomorrow or something. But when we have something really big, then it does create a massive kind of like a avalanche. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And if you were sort of, you know, thinking, oh, maybe I am one of these people that all these little things do build up pretty quick for me, what are some easy sort of stress managing techniques that you often suggest?
Right. So that's a good, great question, because if you are listening and you are that type of person that when the little things start to add up, this is a great time to start adding in the things that can help. But the key factor, I think, that you were saying there, Kate, is just like, you want to be able to not be stressed for trying to de-stress yourself. Does that make
exactly.
sense? Yeah. And I think that's really common, because when you're in the state of stress and overwhelm and somebody says like, okay, you can do X, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you're like, I can't even do number one. How can I manage to do six things to balance my stress? So my best advice is to try some things that you like, okay, okay, like maybe some, you take those six things and you're like, okay, I'm going to try, first I'm going to try meditation. Maybe I'm going to do like 5 minutes in the morning every day for like 2 weeks and see how my body feels and try one thing at a time and then find the thing that you really resonate with. Like maybe that's meditation and maybe you like yoga or maybe you're into cardio, you know, something that, you know, balances you and have those, then those things that you can kind of rotate in your pocket for when things start to get stressful and they're already there. You need to have, that's the kind of keys. You need to have those things implemented in your toolbox. It's like a stress toolbox. Cause if you, you know, if your stress toolbox is empty, and then the stress comes in, you don't have anything to go to.
Yeah. And you get, you're already feeling overwhelmed. So right. Like you said, trying to learn something new or add something in is just too much.
Yeah. And I see that all the time with patients, you know, they'll come in and like, oh, I of course have a massive toolbox of things I can help people with, but if I give them too many things to do at once, they just like, it's like total overwhelm, you know? So you have to take things really slow. Even if for, you know, from my perspective, it might seem maybe just basic, but you have to build the foundations first, right? Like, okay, so the four foundations, maybe your five of managing stress or some mindfulness technique, water, food, and exercise, and then sleep. I think those are those five things that you, if you have those things in really good and you know what to do when you start to get stressed, then those can be your easy toolbox. And, you know, those are really, really challenging subjects for people when they get stressed. All those things go out the window.
Yeah. I know with a lot of my clients that yes, sleep and food and exercise are probably the top three that just don't get prioritized. Yeah. And, you know, you can understand that if you are feeling overwhelmed, the last thing you want to do is be thinking about how I'm going to work out. But like you said, if you've got some plans already in place, then that can make it a lot easier. So with fatigue, what are some of the things that we can be doing to stop us from getting to that point that we are burning out our adrenals?
Right. Yeah, that's great. So let's kind of look at the different, those different foundations that I just mentioned. And I think that'd be kind of a great way for us to kind of address it. So number one, let's talk about food, because food is, you know, so key. So having the simple foods are a great way to help your adrenal system, but protein is really key. Having low sugar, because when you're in a state of adrenal stress, your body has to try to balance hypoglycemia and it will send you into these waves of sugar crashing. So you need to have a low sugar diet, but with protein to feed the adrenal system. So that's really key in that foundation to know, no good protein, you know, like your go-to, like for me, I am very busy and get stressed easily when I'm busy. You know, it's like the stress accumulates like a hamster wheel. So I keep snacks in my purse, you know, or if I'm going out, I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to be busy. I'm going to have some protein snacks. So that can be nuts or a bar or something that can keep you going. Because when you're in a state of stress and that blood sugar drops, then it sends your cortisol into a state of stress. And then you're like plummeting deeper down the scale. So it's really bad for your system. So it's not just that we're talking about nutrition from like, yeah, you want to eat well, but it actually helps balance the adrenal system. So I think that's kind of like number one is the food source. And of course, eating vegetables and fruits. I mean, that's like, of course, I always say that's like a no-brainer, like, of course, but when we look at what people are eating, they're actually not eating enough of those. So you want to be eating like fruit and vegetables.
It's always a good reminder, I think, just to add in too.
Yeah. At least 12 servings a day, not a week, which, you know, that's when I look at people's food journals. I'm like, so you ate like 12 vegetables this week. That's not enough. So that's number one.
Eat more vegetables, everybody.
Right. Eat more vegetables. And then, so let's talk about the water component. So remember I mentioned earlier about aldosterone, and our kidneys and adrenal system balance our blood pressure. And so it's really important to have that salt balance. And also salt goes in and out of the cells and the extracellular and intracellular fluid. It allows us to have balance of things, leaving nutrients going in the cell, you know, energy in the cell, all that. So I recommend either having an electrolyte or just adding a little bit of salt into your water. And that's something easy to do for your, you know, that's great. You got that water in your pillar of health. And you really want to be drinking half your weight, your body weight in water, not just like one cup, you know, or two cups. And when you're stressed out, you definitely don't drink enough water, you know, and your body just will fail. So that's a really easy one to start doing right away. So those two things are easy. And then sleep, I think you were mentioning earlier that a lot of people have that component. And, you know, there's a study that recently came out that 70 million Americans have sleep disorder. So if you already have some issues, that's huge, right? That's like a mass. I don't know how much that is of our population, but it's a huge number. It's probably more than that too, because people, not everybody says they have a sleep problem.
Exactly.
And yeah, totally. So you want to, if you already know that you have some sleep disorders, then this is the real time to really figure out like what's going on with your sleep. If you need to see a sleep specialist or have a sleep study done, I really recommend that. And then remember I talked about that toolbox, having like a sleep toolbox, like, okay, maybe some herbs are really helpful for you for sleep, like valerian or sleep formula, or taking melatonin or magnesium, something to help your body relax. And then, you know, if you have, you're into that more stressful state and you're having a problem sleeping, you can go right to it. So I think sleep is really key. And then the other foundation, that exercise toolbox, like you said, it's really easy to not exercise when you have stress. So I always recommend having a buddy. If you have, you know, whether that's an online buddy, because we've been in the online buddy world, or your friend, and you just call your friend up and you say, hey, I'm stressed. I need you to get my butt out of bed and get me exercising, even if it's just walking around the block, you know? And so you have that like friend to call. And so those are kind of like, I think if you have those things established in already ingrained, it's easier for you to get to them when you start to get stressed.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the other thing with the exercise too is if you don't have a friend, even if it's online and you book into a class so that you know, once or twice a week, you have this class that somebody is waiting for you to turn up to.
Right.
So, you know, you've committed to it. And even if you're not feeling like it, you are going to follow through and show up. So
yeah,
that's right. Another great thing.
Yeah, totally. Being held accountable is key, right?
Yeah. And I think that's in so many areas of our life, you know, a lot of us are, you know, outwardly motivated, you know what I mean? We know we have a deadline and so that gets done for work, but if we don't have that accountability, maybe we probably wouldn't follow through. So I think adding that in where we can definitely help. Now, is there a population that's more at risk of developing adrenal fatigue? So do you tend to see it more in women than men, or is there an age range, or you know, is there any of that that springs to mind?
Well, that's a great question. I think because my patient population is women mainly, I do have some men that I see in my practice, but it's mostly women. So for me, I think that my first go-to would be like, okay, definitely women. And I think it's also because more women go to the doctor. So we have more evidence. We have more evidence-based studies from women because they're more prone to go to the doctor earlier on. Also, women have more issues with their hormones because as we go through the changes of life and through into menopause, that affects our adrenal system. I would say definitely women. And when we're talking about the category of like age, that I don't know exactly. I think that's it's variable because we're seeing a lot more younger people handling stress differently because of the social media and the way that they're communicating. They don't have the outlet. And they're also being exposed to a lot more chemicals earlier on in life, and autoimmune diseases are developing. So I think that we're seeing, you know, in that younger age group, we're seeing a lot more adrenal fatigue earlier on than the typical model is someone in more in the kind of like a woman who is the type A person who pushes herself, drains herself out, maybe works a lot or has a family where she's like, you know, with a lot of children, committing herself a lot in a lot of different spaces. So that's usually like a woman in like 35 to 55. That's usually that category. But like I said, we're seeing adrenal stress and fatigue move way younger, like in someone in their 20s. And so that's alarming because, you know, when you think about when you're in your 20s, you have a lot more energy to do stuff. You shouldn't be in the state of like, I can't get out of bed. My immune system is crashing. So I think that, does that answer that? I think it's changing a lot. Actually, we're seeing a lot of shift in that.
Yeah, it does. And a good sort of point from that, can you tell people if they think maybe they are do you know what I mean, feeling fatigued, and maybe they think, oh, I am stressed and I might be suffering adrenal burnout. What are the sort of major signs and symptoms that they're going to be experiencing?
Right. Yeah. That's a great question, because they're a little bit, you know, around the block. they're an accumulation of a lot of different symptoms, but there are some of the basics. So, and the thyroid is really connected to the adrenal systems. So they'll cross over. So a lot of times we'll be having some hypo or hyperthyroid problems, and the adrenal system is connected, and the hormonal system. So those three systems, I think if we kind of look at those together, so you'll see, of course, fatigue. But when we're talking about adrenal, like total burnout and fatigue, it's like you can't get out of bed fatigue. Like, you know, it, and the things that you used to be able to do very easily are really hard to do, and you get tired quickly. So like, you know, okay, I used to be able to do my five tasks really easy, go to the store, do the shopping, make the dinner, go to work, you know, and all of that. And then you're like, I can't even do one of those without feeling tired. That's a big sign that your adrenal system is out of balance. And also it could be the thyroid and the hormones as well. We'll also see a lot of immune, like chronic immune and continual immune problems and disorders, like chronic colds or chronic flus, where you're, because when your adrenal system is under attack, so to speak, your immune system then comes into play. So it's someone that's a common thing, like, you know, I've had this cold for maybe 2 months and I can't seem to get over it. Or I've had like 12 colds this year. So that can be a really common one. Having some type of inflammation, I see that a lot. So like joint inflammation or systemic pain, almost at that fibromyalgia picture where you're having a lot of different chronic pain because your body is in this detox or this toxic state and you're not detoxifying. So that can be very common. So gut disorders are often linked to the adrenal system. So, you know, that's what I'm saying about those symptoms can be, or the signs and symptoms can be a little bit range, they're wide. So sometimes it can be hard to label it down, but for, it can be, food allergies can be connected to adrenal burnout because you're having leaky gut. You can have brain fog. You could have cognitive disorders. You can have memory changes. So anything with the brain, I always think about the adrenal system. So nervous system and brain, because the system is trying, you could think of like a battery, right? And so that battery in your body, the adrenal system is our battery and the life force. And if we're slowly starting to turn down that battery, it's draining all of the system. So then all the systems start to show a sign, but the brain is key because the brain is like at the top of that system. And I would say almost every single patient that I see with adrenal fatigue has some sort of brain fog, which brain fog means you're having a conversation and you can't remember what the conversation was about, or you get lost in the conversation, or you can't remember like who you were talking about like a few minutes ago. It's like, oh, I don't remember. Or you can't remember, you come into the room, you can't remember what you were doing, you know, those types of things. So brain is huge and key. I think those are kind of like, that's a good kind of summary of the signs and symptoms you would see.
Yeah. And if mm-hmm. somebody is thinking, you know what, that's all like, yep, ticking the box with me, what right. would be their next step? Would you recommend them, you know, visiting a naturopath or getting some tests with the doctor, or mm-hmm. where should they go from there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think basic cortisol testing and adrenal stress testing is key. And not all traditional medical doctors will do like a full adrenal stress test, which I do and most naturopaths do, but you could go to an allopathic physician, an MD, and you could get basic cortisol testing done. And so that's that stress hormone I was talking about earlier. So you want to make sure you're getting your cortisol done, but a blood test. So there's different types of testing. When you just test the blood for cortisol, it's only giving you one snapshot. And when we want to do something like saliva or urine, because we want to be able to see it over a span, because your cortisol, like from when you wake up to go to sleep, has a curve. You want to have it, you know, shoot up in the morning so you have the energy. And by the time you go to sleep, you don't want it to be really high because you want to be able to go to bed. And there's lots of different kind of like curves that we can identify from a cortisol curve of a dysfunction in cortisol. So that's really key to get that test done. And then Also the thyroid, you always want to get the thyroid tested and do a full panel, not just a thyroid stimulating hormone, but the T3 and the T4 and antibodies to make sure there's not something going on with the thyroid. And then do a hormone panel. If whether you're a male or female listening to this, you always want to get all those things done. And it's because the hormones are super connected to the adrenal glands, they're part of the adrenal system. You want to get the progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, your DHEA, sulfate, and cortisol, all of those, like they balance each other on a scale. So it's really easy if one is off for the other to tip. So just that basics would be able to give someone the information that had the knowledge of adrenal fatigue to be able to look at that, but, oh yeah, this is definitely happening to you. So that's like the basic testing that I recommend for sure.
Well, like you said, everything is interconnected. So, you know, having that full picture is obviously key when we're looking at these things as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's also a lot of other side testing you could do. You know, I usually run a heavy metals test for someone that it has is showing some signs of adrenal fatigue. And I'd see that a lot more now because the system is like a bucket, right? And so if this bucket, which is usually able to be filled and then emptied regularly, is running well, that's great. But once that bucket is overflowed with all the stress that we just, you know, everything around us that we talked about already, when that bucket becomes super full, it overflows and nothing can leave the spigot. So that's that huge toxic overload. So I'll see heavy metal toxicity really common with people that have adrenal fatigue. So I always run that panel. Not everybody does, but that's something I recommend doing, especially when where we live now in this 2021, we have toxins all around us.
Yeah. And I think that's probably, I know from my side in nutrition, it's an area that people don't often think about. You know, they think about heavy metals and mold sort of maybe last, or it doesn't get considered, but it is, you know, super important, as you said, when it comes to these, you know, adrenal burnouts and that as well. Now, if somebody is within, you know, they've been diagnosed, they've got adrenal fatigue, or they know that they have some sort of adrenal burnout, what are maybe some of the activities or changes that they can make to start to bring themselves out of that?
Right. You know, that kind of depends on what stage they're in with adrenal fatigue. And there's kind of like three stages of that. So the first stage of that is, you know, you feel it's kind of like the wired and tired phase. So it's like you can go, but you're so wired, you can never go to sleep. So that's like first stage number one. Number two is like you're feeling the exhaustion kind of kick in, but your hormones are starting to become like imbalanced. So everything starts to dysfunction. And so you'll have a lot of hormonal irregularities in the thyroid that I mentioned. And so you start to have so much fatigue that you can barely manage, but you're still hanging on. And then stage three is like the like complete exhaustion. So that's kind of like, you know, it's like you're moving into those. So in regards to treatment, you want to first see, like decide, okay, what phase am I in? Maybe let's just take an example of somebody being in phase three, because that's usually the most common when people are reaching out. And so if you're in that real like huge exhaustion phase and all of the markers have been pointing to adrenal fatigue, you need to start slow with your therapy. When it comes to like exercise, for instance, you don't want to do a lot of heavy duty exercise because it actually can make you worse. You want to do things that are really simple, really relaxing, restorative, you know, like simple yoga, walking around the block, swimming, things that are really like gentle for the body. Because if you do something that is really, really aerobic, it can make things kind of worse depending on the individual. So I always recommend exercise 30 minutes a day, but not doing something that will tax you out. Because if when you get to that point with exercise where you're tired, your adrenal system can't recover quickly enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's like anything, you know, exercise is putting extra stress on the body. So if you are choosing things like running or lifting really heavy weights and, you know, putting extra stress on your body when it can't cope with it,
right,
then it's going to make it worse.
Yeah. The other part of it has been like establishing a really good routine. So you want to make sure that you're going through your, it's like you want to have like a calendar laid out really easy for you to follow when it comes to helping your body restore. So like the time that you get up, what you're going to be doing in that morning, when you're going to take your supplements, having your food be at regular intervals, everything needs to be like timed, but not as a way like to overwhelm, but as actually a way to really make things easy. So you want to have a morning routine and a nighttime routine of really helping to restore the body. And within that comes some detoxification techniques, whether that's doing skin brushing or castor oil packs or doing some tongue scraping, anything to get the body moving in a restorative way, Epsom salt baths, you know, something like that. And then having within that, having a specific regime of supplements to help support you. And you've got to have supplements when you're in that state of adrenal stress. And that I have a specific protocol that I'll work with patients when they're in that state, and I can make some of those recommendations. So L-carnitine is a great one. That's going to help energize the mitochondria. Magnesium is going to help the body to relax, but also give energy as well. CoQ10, that is going to help give the body energy, especially through the ATP process. We want to like energize the cell. And so that brings oxygen into the cell, into the cardiovascular system. Essential fatty acids are really key. You know, that's like a basic nutrient that we need. But when we're in a state of adrenal stress, remember how I talked about the brain, kind of that brain fog, those essential fatty acids are going to come in and help the nervous system and help decrease inflammation. So really key. I love essential fatty acids. Also a B complex is 100% important to bring on, because those B vitamins are going to help give you energy. Even sometimes people will need to have a B12 injection or B complex injection because their body is so depleted from B vitamins. Vitamin D is key because you'll see a lot of depression with adrenal fatigue. And so I always recommend, of course, we didn't mention testing it earlier, but always test your vitamin D and see where you're at. But bringing on a vitamin D supplement really makes a huge difference in people. Spirulina is also, I always bring on spirulina with a person because it's going to help the body to detox, an easy, simple detox. Fire. And so bringing on some simple things like that, just for supplements, and then some adaptogenic herbs help you adapt to stress. So like rhodiola, holy basil, ashwagandha, things that will help your body to slowly kind of restore and restore the depleted system. I think I made up a new word. But yeah, some of those things can really help. And having that like really regimen. And so like you have, once you know, like, okay, I'm gonna be taking XYZ supplements, having them on a calendar. Most of the time I'll have a spreadsheet for patients when in a protocol, they can see it really easily. So there's no overwhelm and no second guessing, because when you're in the stress state, so they're trying to heal, the stress comes back and then they like, oh gosh, now I can't do anything. What was I supposed to do? Then they already know like, okay, I can go to my calendar. I have it laid out. I can go right back to it.
Yeah. And I think the key is obviously from what you're saying, it's like really looking after yourself, really starting to prioritize your self-care, what you're eating, you know, supplements to support that, getting obviously your good sleep, you know, exercising, but just being really conscious about it. So you feel that you are replenishing yourself from exercise, not depleting yourself essentially.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think those are some basics. And I have I have a lot of resources. So if the listeners need resources and want to reach out to me, I have lots of things for adrenal fatigue for sure. I can share those with your listeners. I have like a protocol. I have a quiz where you can find out what stage you're in. A lot of different things that can help out. I have a handout for testing, my recommended testing that you can talk about with your own doctor or with myself. So there's lots of resources that I can give you to give your listeners to help with that.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely link them up in the show notes, because I think that can be a really hard conversation for some people when they go to the doctors and they say, you know, I've been really tired and I think maybe I have adrenal fatigue. And the doctors can be a bit, sometimes, not always, you know, but I know sometimes they can sort of brush you off and be like, all right, well, what symptoms do you have? I'm sure you're just tired. And so, you know, going in with maybe some resources can be very helpful.
Yeah, that's a great, and that's what I do, you know, with my patients, if they're going to be seeing me in conjunction with a typical MD, or even just people that are needing help. I'm like, hey, here, take this. Here's my easy recommended lab guide. This is what you need to talk about with your doctor. So they have the resources. You never want to go into, even if someone's coming to see me, you never want to go into a doctor without kind of like being prepared. I feel like, you know, you want to like, okay, this is what I have. This is what I think I have, you know, or these are some ideas. At least know how to explain your symptoms.
Yeah. And if you, I think having an advocate sometimes can really help as well, so that if you aren't, you know, 100%, maybe you have already seen one, maybe you've already seen your naturopath and they've said, yep, you need to go get your bloods done, go to the doctor, get a referral or whatever it may be. You know, if it's a letter or getting them to reach out and have a phone call, sometimes that can help as well.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, they see naturopathic physicians when they're kind of like at the last straw, like they've tried everything down the road. It's not everyone, like you said, but typically an MD doesn't have the same toolbox as a naturopathic doctor. And so they're looking at things differently. So they're not going to see the whole picture. So sometimes it just will fall through the cracks. So that's like, they've tried everything. Every lab has been done already. They've tried all of these different pharmaceuticals or other methods and like everything has failed. So that's when they reach out to a naturopathic doctor. And so sometimes it's, you know, it can be the saving grace for them because they've tried everything else. And they're like, I'm like, oh yeah, you totally have this. Let's just do this. And then they start to feel better immediately.
Yeah, well, I think it's like anything, especially if you've been on a journey of trying to find out what you have and you've been through pain and, you know, you've been suffering for a period of time. If somebody can help you, it's, you know, you've seen the light. It's like, hallelujah, thank goodness someone can finally help me.
Totally.
Now, I know you have written a book and it's just come out recently.
Yes,
so can
today.
You share that with our listeners?
Yes, I know. I was telling you earlier, I just got in the mail today. I'm so excited. So yes, the name of the book is Detox, Nourish, Activate, Plant and Vibrational Medicine for Energy, Mood, and Love. So it has a kind of a long title, but I can break it down a little bit because it explains what the book's about. So detox, nourish, and activate, the three first letters of those words are DNA. So everything about the book is about DNA. It's about really using different interventions, modalities to help heal your DNA, detox the DNA, nourish the DNA, and activate the DNA. So that's kind of like the basics of the book. And then the energy, well, and the plant and vibrational medicine. So those are the modalities in the book. And that ranges from aromatherapy to herbal medicine to crystals to meditations to mudras to nutrition. So there's 11 interventions that are used for each system. The book is based in systems. And the systems are energy, mood, and love. And that's energy is the adrenals, mood is the brain, and love is the heart. So those are the three systems. So that's kind of like what the book is about, is addressing those main systems in the body, those organs, and helping to heal. Because those are kind of like the basics of how everything works. Our adrenal system, which we just talked about, the heart, like the center of love and, like, you know, the center of our physical and emotional being, and then the brain, the super being in our body that's making everything work. So those were like when the co-author and myself decided those were the three organs we were really going to focus on.
And how did the book come about? I know you just mentioned you collaborated with somebody, mm-hmm. but yeah. Was it, you know, you've been thinking about it for many years, or, you know, did something spur you to mm-hmm. decide to change to then write the book?
Right. Well, I had been teaching a lot of workshops. And then I taught a workshop with the co-author. And when we created all of the content for the workshop, we were like, wow, we have so much knowledge together. We should write a book. And so that's kind of like what stemmed it, is like just like us working together and teaching about people about those three systems and how you can use herbs to help heal yourself, how you can use aromatherapy, how you can use meditation. And so it's very centered. It's like a lot of the book is a workbook. And so you're working through things a self-discovery of healing, like based on different aspects of trauma. We talk about trauma in the book because I believe that trauma is highly, deeply connected to disease. And so we talk about that. We talk about abundance in the book because abundance is, that was like one of the last chapters. We kind of like, we got to talk about abundance. Money is so connected to our health because from that energetic standpoint. So we talk about that. And then a lot also about the different ways through our bloodlines through our family, how our family influences our health and how we bring things from our past into our present state of health, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So that's a huge component of the book as well. So we talk a lot about trauma, how you have that self-discovery of healing and using the interventions, those modalities to help heal yourself. It's really like about, we want people to be felt like they're empowered. Because there's a time now that there's a loss of empowerment, a loss of power. You know, it's like people, they're like, they're sick. They don't have the tools to get better. And so we wanted to create something that would give them like this universal, like, not like an encyclopedia, but the book is almost 500 pages. It has a lot of information, but it's like, you know, to have this resource of revolutionary medicine that you can go to and you can learn how to heal yourself. You can help your community. You can help your family. So that was also a huge inspiration for us, is just like, we wanted to have something to help the planet, like on a much bigger level than has been created before.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love how you were talking about trauma. I actually just had a podcast episode that came out a few weeks ago that was on epigenetics and trauma a guest, Cordelia McFadden. And that was fascinating and learning, do you know what I mean, about how trauma can affect our health, and not just from our generation, but from previous generations that have been through trauma and then through our DNA and et cetera. So yeah. I love that piece is in there too, because I think it's, you know, one of those parts of our health that we don't probably tend to think about as much. And, you know, everybody has experienced some different type of trauma, whether or not it's in childhood or, do you know what I mean, or their family has. So it is very prevalent, I think, but also very important and maybe something we don't really think about.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're talking about genetics and epigenetics, it's so new, right? That like it's an upcoming wave of health. We're really like just so learning about it. And so that's what kind of makes the book revolutionary. It's like we took that knowledge that's so new, and then we added all the alternative medicine to it. So it's like, okay, well, we're learning about genetics. We're learning about how our past affects us and makes us who we are today, right? And we have that trauma, like you said, it could be in something that happened to us in our lifetime, but it can also be lots of different things in the past that our family has experienced. Like we talk about abundance in the book, like I mentioned, about like how having lots of loss of abundance in your family can totally affect the way that you see money today, and the way that you, everything around you, the way that you feel emotionally, the way that your heart works, the way that your brain works, the way that your adrenal system works, because you're in stress every time you think about money. Yeah. And so it was a huge aspect that we were like threw in there. But yeah, I love what you said. It's so connected. It's so up and coming. I think more and more people are like learning about. That's why I'm fascinated about genetics myself, is that I love it. I love that it's like we were taking this microscope and being able to go deep inside of us and learn about ways to change ourselves in the present, but also in the future. This is like this preventative model, and that we are just now like learning about. It's just like it's a total wave of health of the future.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be quite an exciting one to see what comes out with it as well.
Yeah.
Now, if there is one thing that you could share with listeners today that they could, you know, go off and implement today to help and support their adrenal health, what would it be?
Only one.
Or you can pick two.
Okay, how about two? I can totally pick two. Okay, so one, I would bring in an adrenal aptogenic herb. And I think ashwagandha is my total favorite for that. It supports the body in this really like loving way of energy. So it's, I when I talk about it, I think like, you know, if you're stressed out and your mom like gives you this like warm hug, that's exactly what ashwagandha does, but it energizes you with this like, oh, I'm so happy now. I'm like protected, I'm safe, and I have that energy to move forward. So ashwagandha, number one. And number two is a mindfulness technique. And I would say meditation, hands down, is my go-to when it comes to adrenal fatigue. And you don't need to take on the like the meditation is like, oh my God, I got to meditate like 12 hours a day or even like 20 minutes a day. No, just do like 5 minutes. Just start really easy. And I myself just do 10 minutes every day in the morning. And that just like resets the system. It helps your adrenal glands ground to the earth. They're a huge grounding organ and they need to have that meditative time to reset. So just those two things can make a world of difference.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing those because I think they're really easy, you know what I mean, tips that people can take away and implement today.
Yeah.
Where can listeners reach out, connect with you, find more out about you?
Yes, of course. You can go to my website, which is doclulu.com. Like, what's up, doc? That's so it's super easy to find me. And then I'm all over social media, but Instagram is, I think, the best way. And that's Dr. Lulu Shimek. On there, I'm posting webinars and my programs and information about my book and everything. So that's follow me on there and you can find out everything you want to know. And if you want to purchase my book, you can find the link on my Instagram and also on my website too. It's right there. You can just do boom book and it's right there. So really easy.
I'll link it up in the show notes too.
Awesome.
I'm going to log on and purchase a coffee.
Yay.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you on. You're a wealth of information and I can't wait for listeners to reach out and learn more from you.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about the adrenal system and I hope that everybody that listens got recharged.
Amazing. Thanks, Dr. Lulu.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.